Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome once again. We're on, this is actually Tuesday night, so we are live on the air. We're actually going to do an hour show tonight. I've got Vince back in the studio with me, and we're going to just rehash some of the year and just go continue on with what we were talking about last week. So, Vince, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm at home, resting. And
he's nice to rest.
Yes. Yep. Pulled out my Bible today and looked up some scripture. Probably going to talk about a little bit tonight.
All right.
That kind.
This is January 1. So for those of you who have a New Year's resolution of reading your Bible every day this year, you fail today, you blew it, okay? So Vince, you're ahead of the game. You got it.
Yeah, man, I don't make resolutions.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
I had a roommate who actually waited until February 1st to do his resolutions.
Yeah.
No resolutions for you, huh?
No. No, man, I just I've been going on this supplement, testosterone boosting thing.
Okay.
And
yeah.
I got up this morning, and I had to shovel out. We had a bit of snow here, and I had to shovel out the deck and the walkways, and then pull the snowblower. And I figured I ain't going to make it. And I got out there, man, and I started moving that snow, and it was nothing. And then I pulled the snowblower out, and I did the driveway, and I'm not sore. I'm not tired.
Mm.
That used to knock me on my tail.
It's amazing, a lot of these shows that, kind of alternative, they have the supplements as their sponsor. Because that's usually the audience that really goes for it. But there is something to that. I mean, we've taken out a lot of the testosterone building blocks out of our diet. We don't eat a diet like we used to anymore. We don't write. I know we did a booming business in my store this year. I was just looking at the year-end stats today. We did wonderful, as a store. But that just goes to show you how many people would rather eat at McDonald's than eat healthy.
Right.
And even today, I mean, we projected fairly low. We didn't think we'd do very good in business. We rarely do on these kind of holidays, the New Year's Day, some of the other ones, so Labor Day, Memorial Day, those kinds of days are usually pretty low. And we actually did, there was a few hours that was like $100 over what we projected.
Right.
So people are coming out to eat.
Yeah.
The economy's good enough that people feel like eating out, and they're coming to see us. I thank them for their business, but let me tell you, get some testosterone booster. It's going to help you.
Yeah. Yeah. Done wonders for me, I'll tell you.
Uh-huh.
It really has. But eating right
is one of those things that somebody else could also think about as a New Year's resolution. But we've had a weird year. You haven't been talking to me every day like we had been in the past. But it's been a weird year. The year started off with everything breaking in my house. Just one thing after another, including the shower faucet. It finally broke. So we had to move. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. I'm still trying to get everything out of there so I can haul that trailer to the middle of the field and burn it. But,
right.
Yeah. But we had owner change at work. last announcements I got out, one of the first things I heard in December was, we're selling. I'm like, really? And by the end of January, we had a new owner. Which is good, and it's been bad. I mean, it's good to see some of the, what is McDonald's policy versus what is the owner's policy. There's always, how we make a Big Mac is McDonald's policy. How we get the money to the bank is owner policy.
Right.
And there's a different way. They want it done differently. But it's not as big of an ownership group as had before, so profits are down.
Right.
And that's because it's not. I don't think he bought the right set of stores. But our store is holding its own. We're doing good. Just come out. If you want to eat something, you can come to my store anytime. But
right.
At the same time, we need to be eating healthy. And that's probably one of the good New Year's resolutions for some of you to have. Reading through, another good one to have. Just staying in the Word. Good one to have. Sometimes the troubles we get is just because we're not in the Word.
Yeah.
Not in prayer. We get off doing our own thing. We think that the right person in the White House is going to save us. That's not going to do a thing for us. Okay?
Yeah.
Only God can do that. But what have you seen this year? What are some things you've seen this last year that caught your attention?
I started the year pretty rough. My business, I was sick and my business was not in good shape. Because of it, I missed a lot of time. But what I have seen since the election, I'm going to say last 2 years, there has been this continuous. I feel at times like I'm in an alternate universe, like something clicked, and we flipped out of the universe and the reality we were in, and we flicked into this alternate reality. I am just amazed at how hardened people are in their opinions.
Hmm.
And it's like, people keep saying, the left and the right got to find a way to compromise. Well, part of the problem is that the left and the right today are so far apart that it's almost impossible for them to compromise. The belief systems, it's not like it was 40 years ago. Or 50 years ago, conservative versus a liberal, the differences were minor. There weren't big moral differences. The difference was generally, how much should the government get involved with it? How much should the individuals get involved? But what I see today is I see the conservatives, who I really don't call conservatives anymore. They're the traditionalists. They believe in a traditional paradigm. A traditional set of beliefs that have been around for ages. And then you got the progressive side. The liberals are no longer liberals, they're progressives. And the progressivism is nothing more than communism. It's just communism or, radical socialism under with a different colored dress on.
Right.
But it's still the same thing. And you cannot reconcile a conservative moral worldview with a progressive worldview. They're just too far apart.
I don't know about you. The level of hate that I'm seeing,
right,
it's on both sides.
Yeah.
But the level of hate, I mean, I'm sitting there trying to explain to them the truth. They're sitting there yelling in my face, "You're a liar."
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's everywhere. It's prevalent. You're a liar. Okay, let's define a lie. A lie is knowing what the truth is and telling you opposite.
Right.
If I'm telling you an opinion that I firmly, it's a firmly held belief opinion, it's kind of like that thing with the preacher of rapture. When I start talking about preacher of rapture, I hear people say, you're lying. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
That's my firmly held belief. That's not a lie.
Right. Right.
A lie is when I know for a fact that the rapture is happening at the end of the tribulation, and I'm still preaching the pre-trib view.
Right.
That's a lie.
Right.
But I firmly believe, and I'm seeing it in politics, I'm seeing it in religion, I'm seeing it everywhere.
Yeah. And what really amazes me is, you know, before Obama came into the presidency, you weren't hearing all this, I call it, you know, isms.
Right.
You weren't hearing, as part of the general speech, racism, homophobia, this phobia, that phobia, you know. And now it's gotten to the point where if any time you disagree, especially with somebody on the hard left like that, it's a you're a phobia or an ism. I remember that a lot of that stuff was going out of the way. You know, my kids' generation was not really raised with any strong concept of color, race, or whatever. I thought we had done a pretty good job at eliminating that. You know, our churches are now fully integrated. You know, at least the church I was going to was. And, you know, our kids had friends and dated people of many different backgrounds. And it didn't bother me. All right? In fact, a lot of my household is minority.
Okay.
But all of a sudden, Obama comes on the scene, and all of a sudden, all this racism and all these different phobias, little by little, they start coming out of the woodwork, where people are being accused of this stuff continuously. And then when Trump got into office, it went viral. Like, all of a sudden, Trump is a great anti-Semite. He's a great racist. You know, he's anti-woman. You know, and the guy never, ever taught or said anything like that.
Right.
He was just labeled. Well, that's a cult technique. That's very much a cult technique, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what the cults do. It's called the dispensing of existence. If you don't follow the cult doctrine and the cult mindset, if you question it, or you come at something from a different perspective, it's worse for you than had you never been a part of the group. You know, Trump at one time was a Democrat.
Yeah.
And at one time, he would have been considered fairly liberal. All right.
I'm not so sure of his politics back in the day, but I do know he contributed a lot of money to Democrats.
Right. Yes,
and that's
he did.
Primarily because that's who ran New York.
Right. But, you know, there was a time when he was pro-choice. I can remember that many years ago. I mean, the man has definitely changed his positions on a lot of things over the years, and many of us do. That's part of the maturing process. I mean, I was pretty, compared to now, I was pretty radical when I was young. And a lot of my belief systems took a complete turn in the late 70s. Because I would have been considered a fairly liberal Democrat before that time.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is that things change, but it's this vilifying and this labeling with no evidence for what you're labeling for, you know, or accusing this person's going to get rid of this or they're going to get rid of that. But there's no evidence for that. And it's this mania. It's like derangement syndrome in society today is blatant. I mean, people, a lot of people out there are really deranged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in days gone past, we would have called it schizophrenia. Everything's a conspiracy. Every single thing is some kind of ism. It's some kind of prejudice. Everything. If you don't see it exactly like I do. And I don't remember that. More, you know, I don't remember as much of that 4 years ago. I really don't. This has gone viral. And it's, and to me, it's an alter. It's like an alter reality. Something has clicked in and people, it's a spiritual thing. All of a sudden, they can't reason. They can't look at the reality and accept the reality. So they it's like they make up a lie. They go out of their way to deny what they're seeing. I mean, you may not like Trump personally, but hey, the economy, all the measurements took off the day after he was elected. They say it's Obama. No. It was pretty flat. It was pretty flat. And when Trump got in there, because of expectations or whatever, all of a sudden things started happening. And you got to give the guy credit for where it's due. And, you know, and he has kept his promises. This man, this is the only politician I can remember in my lifetime who has kept as met so many of his promises, you know, and done them. And he's done it under extreme opposition. How do I feel about him personally?
How many politicians have said that they're going to move the embassy to Jerusalem? Every single one of them.
Yeah.
How many of them actually did it? Only one.
Yeah.
Trump.
Hey, how many Republican presidents promised us smaller government? Did it ever get smaller? No. No, it kept getting bigger. How many times and I'm going to dump on the Republicans tonight. How many times did the Republicans promise to get a better taxation system in? They didn't.
No.
I mean, Trump really was the one that really hammered that. They promised fiscal responsibility. They spend just as much as the Democrats. They just spend it on their pet stuff.
Right. A lot of it, when they get, if you've ever seen some of these big names, their campaigns, it's like, I fought for you and I got you this.
Right.
I fought for you and I got you that. That project that's going on over there on the other side of the county, I did that.
Right.
It's a boondoggle. That's all it is. And it's good, but that's not what we ask for.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a state representative when I lived in Pennsylvania. The guy was a slug. I mean, he was a whoremonger. All right. But people liked him because of, you know, he used to throw trinkets at him. Like, you know, we had a municipality. We had a part-time police officer. Oh, he got him a new car, police car. You know, it was stuff like that. And you got a guy out there who is cheating you left and right. And he's known for that. And you're sitting there and you're giving him your vote for a trinket. He's buying you off. And, you know, that's the issue. But right now what I see is that the ability to reason has died. Everything's very emotional. It's hard to reason with people. And they just make things up. If I feel this way, it has to be true. If I want something to be true, all I got to do is say it and it becomes true. And this is a form of delusion. It's like that there's no reality outside of what I decide reality should be. That's the mentality you see today. Reality is what it should be. what I think it should be. Why do you think they're still talking about Russian collusion? Everybody knew that was a setup from the beginning. Yeah. They were talking about how we get rid of Trump. Oh, we'll accuse him of Russian collusion. Well, if that's the case, then Obama was colluding with the Russians because he knew about the problems. All right, and he had a heck of a lot more contact with Putin than Trump did before he got elected.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it, the whole idea? Get us into a boondoggle and just keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. You know, now they're talking about obstruction of justice. Yeah, they're trying to get him on stuff that any president would do and is not considered. There's no law against it. All right. If you say, you know, if he talked to the Russians right after he was elected, that there's no collusion there. There's no such thing as the president cannot collude, unless, except if he does something that is seditious, like he's going to turn our country over to the Russians.
Yeah.
But anytime somebody talks to somebody in another country, the way these guys are today framing it, it would be collusion. So if I sit there and I talk to some guy from India, I'm colluding with the Indians. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm there.
This is, it's Nazi thinking. And
these guys come at you with, you're doing this. In reality, if you look at what they are doing, they're doing exactly what they're accusing Trump of doing.
Exactly. They're accusing Trump of too much investigation. So what are they going to do now? We're going to have what the investigations we're going to have this next year is going to make what the Congress and everybody did last year look like part-time hobby.
Right.
This is ridiculous. You can't get things done. And again, you know, it goes to the topic that we talked to about last week. What is God's position toward those in authority?
Mm-hmm.
All right, because this is where the real problem is that a good part of our country on both sides is in a hard-line rebellion against God right now. You know, I wasn't crazy about Obama. Believe me, you know, I've been vocal about Obama, but there were lengths that I wouldn't go to. I never said we need to impeach him. I never, I didn't like what he did, and I gave my reasons why. But I was not out to kill the guy, to destroy him. And
right.
I see a lot of assassination going on right now.
Rush Limbaugh came out first day of Obama and says, I hope he fails.
Yeah.
Now, that is a little different than what some of these people came out with was about blowing up the White House.
Yeah.
A little different.
Yeah.
That is.
No, what I didn't pray that
I hope he
fail
fails
that.
Is passive.
Yeah.
I hope
but
he
I
fails
prayed
as passive.
This, yeah.
But
yeah, I hope
I dream about blowing up the White House. Fail. That's active.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's nuts. I mean, really. They should have locked her up. They should have taken a bunch of those people that pulled that stuff, and they should have taken them, and they should have put them behind the white light, and they should have grilled them for, you know, 6 or 8 hours, and they should have put them in jail for a few days. The word would have gotten across, do not make threats like that.
Right. Well,
all right, that might
all these people, you know, given stuff like that, and nobody is going to jail over it.
Yeah.
I mean, who is running this thing?
Yeah.
You know, but if I had come out and said that about Obama, I promise you that we would be doing this radio show from behind bars.
Yeah.
If we would be allowed to do it at all.
Yes. You're right. So, you know, what's happening is we're cursing ourselves on both sides of the fence because of our attitude. Our attitudes right now and because we are being rebellious against God's designated authority. Was Obama God's designated authority? Absolutely. Why did God put Obama in there? He may be a designated authority. It may be for our good or for our bad, or it may be to teach us something. But the fact is that Obama would not have gotten in there without God's okay.
Right.
And that's the point, is that God has absolute sovereign control over everything at all times, at any time. And, you know, we've seen this in the past. So what I'd like to do today is go through some examples and give some examples of how God has done this in the past.
Okay, Vince, sounds like a good idea.
How this is.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we do that after the break here?
Sounds good.
All right, we're listening to Tuesday Night on Eagle's Nest Broadcasting.
Double sixes. Can't hit me now.
Let's see. Oops. Snake eyes. I get to go backwards. Hitting you.
Hey, you can't go backwards and back, Aaron.
Sure you can. It's in the rules. If a player rolls snake
Let
eyes.
Let me see. You wrote that in there.
So it's still in the rule book.
Rules. They provide standards for people to live by.
Oh, yeah? Well, if I roll a 4, I get to knock your pieces on the floor.
There are standards God wrote for us in the Bible.
Oh, yeah? And if I roll a 5, I get to kick you in the foot.
Ow! Okay, I get to hit you on the head.
Wait.
What?
You didn't roll the dice yet.
Oh, yeah. 9! Ow!
As we walk away from God's standards and create our own rules, we create confusion.
Ow! Ooh.
Seven!
If things aren't working out for you in your life, give the Bible a chance.
Let's play something less violent.
Hockey?
My rules.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Are back. Okay, we are back here on Eagle's Nest Broadcasting. And Vince, you've got something for tonight. Let's hear it.
Okay, we're going to talk about, and I told you that I've really struggled with this the last year or two. I mean, I was ready really to go into a revolution. I figured if it got too far out of hand, that I might be out there, you know, supporting, you know, a specific side and fighting.
Right.
And the Lord, you know, finally came to me. So, you know, like, what are you doing? And then I began remembering a lot of scripture that I listened to before or read before. And then I listened to John MacArthur, who basically said the same thing about what is a Christian response supposed to be toward our leadership. And so I went back and I remembered instances in the Bible. So we'll start going through some of these. All right, dealing with authority. David was, you know, Saul was told that the throne was being taken away from him for his disobedience. And David was anointed king. Now, rightfully, David could have just gone right in and just deposed Saul, done whatever he needed to do, and taken the throne. But David refused to do that because he still considered Saul to be God's anointed leader. And David figured that when God was ready, God would place him in the throne and deal with Saul in whatever way he chose fit. Saul chased him, persecuted him. I mean, you know, he made things very unpleasant for David. And if he caught him, he would have killed him a few times. But David refused to bring his hand against him, because David believed that if whatever God did and whatever God promised, that it was God's responsibility to remove Saul as a leader. We saw the same types of things with Moses. When people rebelled against, there were times when the people rebelled against Moses, and God took an action. You know, he'd open up the ground and swallow them up, or this would happen, or that would happen. But the point is that God does not ask us to follow a leader because that leader is perfect. He says to us that he has put into place the designated authorities. And it may be to chastise us. It may be to bless us. But God's in touch with that. Now, when we deal with this idea of God's sovereignty, that you know, God says in Isaiah that he already has planned the end before the beginning. I've quoted that verse many times on our show about how, you know, God knows everything. God does not have billions and billions of alternate realities that would happen if a person does this or does that. You know, God already has the end planned from the beginning, and he knows exactly how all the pieces are going to fall into place in between. And a good example of that is in Daniel. When Nebuchadnezzar has the dream and asks David to, or Daniel to interpret it. And then Daniel interprets the statue.
Right.
The head of gold and whatever. And this, you know, what he was showing was God's plan. That there would be these empires. These would be the empires of men. But God would still be in control over them. And then you get down to the legs, the two Roman, you know, branches of the Roman Empire. Then you get down to the feet that are a combination of clay and iron. And then all of a sudden this, you know, this boulder comes out, basically, and destroys the statue and turns into a mountain. And what is that mountain? That mountain is the kingdom of God. All right, and that, you know, that it would it, that boulder or stone would turn into a mountain. That's the kingdom of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those things happened, and there's nothing that man was going to do that was going to change that. So, you know, we see in the Old Testament these different examples of submission to authorities that God gave over us. And then we see it again in the New Testament. We see this replayed. For instance, Peter in Acts. All right, he's told, and it also deals with a godly response to that. Peter is told in Acts to stop preaching the resurrection. And you know, Peter respectfully says, you know, we're to follow God rather than man. But he was willing to pay the price for it, and he went to jail. He was a voice of dissent. He went out and preached respectfully, but he did not fight the authorities when the authorities decided to take an action against him. And
right.
Then we see this with Paul. And Paul in Acts, in fact, it's Acts 21, and I thought this was an interesting chapter 23, Acts 23, says in verse 1, he's brought before the council in Jerusalem. And it says, and Paul looked intently at the council and said, brethren, I have lived my life with a perfectly good conscience before God up to this day. and the high priest Ananias commanded those standing beside him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. And do you sit to try me according to the law, and in violation of the law order me to be struck? But the bystanders said, do you revile God's high priest? And Paul said, I was not aware, brethren, that he was high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. That's Exodus 22:28.
Right.
And then what Paul does is he then goes in and he kind of works the Sadducees against the Pharisees. But the point was that he called the high priest a whitewashed wall. A lot of people don't understand that figure of speech, what a whitewashed wall is. It's not what you think it is.
He used it, too, in Matthew 23.
Yeah.
Same context.
Yeah.
So he's only what Jesus has said. So, yeah, keep going.
All right. To understand this, so in essence, we are supposed to obey the secular authorities in those areas in which they have dominion over us. However, if we are asked to do anything that violates what God has commanded us to do, if they pass a law that for us to do it would be to violate the direct commandments of the Lord, then we have to make a choice. And the choice we have to make then is to be a voice of dissent, to obey God, but to be willing to accept those consequences of obeying God. All right, Paul makes it very clear in Romans chapter 13. He says, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not the cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Wherefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due to them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Very similar to what Jesus said when they tried to trick him. And they handed him the coin. And they said, should we give to the temple or to Caesar? You know? And Jesus said, whose inscription is on this coin? And they said, Caesar. And he said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto God that which is God. Now, we're not always going to have leaders whose primary purpose is going to be to protect us from evil. We're going to have leaders coming up. In fact, we already have them. But they're coming up who hate us. They hate us. They want to kill us.
And the Bible
John McTernan and I have talked.
Yeah,
and John McTernan and I have talked about it. You know, he's read things that he's been reading from, progressives and some other groups. And it's very clear they want to kill us. They hate us because we are a voice of reason and truth. And they find it very hard to fight the truth that we have. Well, you know, the only way sometimes you can fight the truth, if you know, you're trying to bring on evil, is you try to silence the mouth of those that are speaking it. And the fact is that anywhere we read in the Bible, we know, you know, we've had a long period where we've been at peace pretty much with the government for the most part. But we know that there's a time coming before the return of Christ where the world is going to turn on us. And it's going to turn on us very hard. And we are seeing it now. When you look at the immorality and the grossness of it that we're dealing with today in our society, I mean, it's nuts. It's crazy. People are, you know, mutilating themselves. They're denying the reality of who they are. You know, a lot of this gender stuff we're dealing with, it's a denial of what you are. And, you know, this is so satanic. And we who have the Spirit, we see through this. And, you know, it's like we can't be a part of it. But the fact is that these people are so crazy about that everybody has to accept this, that there will come a point where they're going to kill us over this type of thing. And, you know, craziness. I mean, you know, putting a kid on hormones and stuff, a little kid doing hormone therapy on a 4 or 5 year old or 3 year old, or, you know, this is nuts. This would have been considered abuse. It would have been considered malpractice for a doctor to even prescribe it just a few years ago. But we are seeing this.
Yeah. Now they're expected to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And where's it going to stop? Yeah, I can remember years ago, you know, I talked to my dad about the, you know, I remember back in the early 80s telling my dad that I believed at some point or another that homosexuals and lesbians were going to want to marry each other. Now, you know, he thought I was crazy. But I said, no, you look at the way things are going. And, you know, then that happened. And, you know, we allowed that. And, you know, we would talk about, you know, pedophilia all of a sudden becoming okay. And we're not that far away from that at
right.
this point. But that would have been considered absurd even 6 or 7 years ago. When gays started marrying, I kept saying it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And it's going to go from the annoying to the absolutely horrifyingly bizarre. And that's where we're getting to. And at some point, something's going to hit the fan. Something's going to snap. And I believe that this year could be the year when things really snap. Because, you know, we're going to have a, you know, we have a, just from a political standpoint, we got a president who wants to fulfill and needs to fulfill some duties and promises he made. And meanwhile, we're going to have a Congress that's going to be extremely obstructionistic. And they're going to be harassing him at every corner. And this is going to create a lot of tension in this society. This moral thing is going to create a lot of tension. There are an awful lot of people in this country that are not buying into this stuff. They're not buying into this immorality that they're calling morality that's going on today. And there's going to become a point where it's going to be, the tension is going to be so high that people are going to start snapping. And when it does, we are in great danger. But we are getting to that point. I mean, I took 10 days off and didn't even go on Facebook or watch the news for 10 days. I was amazed at how much more peaceful I felt at the end of those 10 days. Because everywhere you go, the media and everything today is media. I can't get away from it on my cell phone. My cell phone
well,
is
Well, I know the only
surfing.
Thing blaring on our TVs at work is Fox News. So, yeah.
Yeah. And even Fox News. I mean, I consider them the best of those networks. But even
still
that gets
not there,
me
yeah.
after a while. No. It's because it's like this constant speculation. You know, over the absurd. They don't know, and yet they're speculating or they're saying this is going to happen. They don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Something totally different could happen. And that's the problem is we keep getting fed conflict. And, you know, there's a point where it's hard to escape it. And it does mess with your head. I dream this stuff. Okay? I mean,
right.
I've had some really, and I know it's because I'm getting hammered all the time. All right? And it's, you know, it's hard to defend against it. And unfortunately, I can't turn off. I can't go off the grid completely because of my business and stuff.
Well, nobody can get totally off the grid. I mean, we talk about it, but unless you're willing to go move to the middle of Montana to a house with no electricity and no telephone, no running water, I mean, I'm sorry. You got to connect with people.
Yeah. So, you know, that's what we're dealing with, and it's not easy. We will get through it. You know, I remember a famous line. It was from a movie called The Devil's Advocate. And it was a movie where Al Pacino played the devil, who was actually a guy in a law firm. He was like the head partner. And Keanu Reeves is actually his son. He's actually kind of an antichrist, or supposed to be. But his mother was a believer. So he was raised with the Bible. Well, when he finally confronts his father, who is Lucifer, you know, he says to him, look, I've read the book and you lose. The reality is that this system that we're living in, it's on its way out.
Right.
Its time is just about up. And, you know, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. Period. And we are not citizens of this world. We are citizens of the New Jerusalem. All right, we are citizens of the city of God.
Right.
And so we don't have to fear what's going to happen. We don't have to fear resisting. We don't have to fear dissenting. We don't have to fear not taking up arms against our, you know, against our brothers and sisters or our elected representatives. You know, the world will do that, and the world pays a price to do that. You know, Jesus never told his disciples to go after Caesar. He never preached rebellion against Rome. He preached rebellion against sin. He preached them to be rebellious about their evil heart. You know, he said, clean yourself, you know, be cleaned yourself inside. He said, you live like you're in the kingdom of God. And then those that see you will see the kingdom of God. That's what he preached. He was not a revolutionary from that standpoint. His revolution was an internal one to individuals. Again, if enough individuals are influenced by that which is good, if they're influenced by your faith, by your character, you know, by the way you deal with things, that brings them to Christ. And if you have enough people that come that way, then that's going to have an effect on the society. But from what I've seen in the scripture, you know, things are going to, they're going to continue from worse to worse. And, you know, ultimately there's going to be a culmination. And Jesus said, when you see these things happen, go to your bed, get depressed, take a bunch of pills, and, you know, take a sword to your heart.
I don't think so. I don't remember that verse in the scripture.
That's right. What did he say? When you see these things happen, what are you supposed to do?
Look up.
Why? Why?
Redemption draweth near.
Right. And Paul put it very clearly in Romans when he said that, you know, that neither life nor death nor anything separate us from the love of God. And he also said in another scripture, having seen the promises of God, having seen it in the heavenlies, that when it's over and we get there, nothing that has happened in this world, no matter how horrible, it'll seem like nothing.
Okay, 5 minutes.
Compared to the glories that God has for those that love him.
Right.
Now, some of you folks listening tonight, all right, you know, you want to have that. You want that peace of God. There's only one way you get the peace of God. No Jesus, no peace. You have to accept the Son of God as your Lord and Savior, and you need to accept him into your heart. You need to make him the Lord of your life, and he will send you the Holy Spirit. He will send you that other comforter, just like him. And God will tabernacle. He will temple himself in your body, in your heart. You will become the temple of God, and God will change you. As you study his word, he will change you from the inside out. But to get there, you need to repent of your sins. You need to ask him in. You need to throw open the door. He said, I knock at the door. Well, all you got to do is open it and ask him in. And if you do that, he promises that he will abide with you forever. Let's end with prayer, Tim.
Okay.
We thank you, O Father. We thank you for the wonderful things. It says in the word, O Lord, that of your Son, that his name is wonderful, which is the word incomprehensible, actually, in the Greek. It's so incomprehensible, so beyond wonders, that it's just hard for us to behold it. But, oh Lord, you are wonderful. And you have taken this universe from beginning to end. And you figured it all out, and it will be so much more glorious than we can imagine. We ask, O Lord, that you cement these souls tonight that place themselves in your care. And we thank you, O Lord, for saving us, even when we were not worthy. So we'll give you all the praise and glory this next year as we extol your word and your name. And we give you praises in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, with that we need to really buckle down and get ready for the new year here. We're both Vince and I are wishing everybody who listens a very happy and prosperous new year, but more importantly, a godly new year. It's not godly. It ain't worth it. So whether you make money, you make anything else, you know, it's all about your soul. Because in the end, that's all that's going to count. All right. So till next time, we'll see you either here, there, or in the air.
Creation he was waiting to reveal his